Hi, this is Tony at Cover Magazine. I'm speaking to Mike Ngwadele, the MD at RTU SA. Thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Mike. As you said, you're more than an MD. You MD is just a title that you use, but yeah, with most entrepreneurial people, that's probably where it is. Jack of all trades and running the show, yeah.
Yes.
Mike, especially in the business that you are in, the taxi insurance industry, with anybody, when you talk about taxi insurance, people always get the jitters thinking, ooh, how do you insure taxis, et cetera? But I mean, it's a tough business. How did you get involved in the taxi business?
Yeah, it is. I think the first part, getting into insurance, for all of us, it's not something that happens by default, but somehow we find our way in the space. Within the taxi market and e-hailing space, I think from Renasa Taxi Underwriters, which was established in 2008, purely looked at your minibus taxis, and with the advent of Uber and Bolt entering the market in the e-hailing space now 10 years, there was a massive demand for insurance coverage on your e-hailing, which is your using electronic platforms such as Uber and Bolt to request a drive. And that really created a new market that was not known. So effectively on our side, as an RTU point of view, we established the footprint in the e-hailing market from 2019, where previous Renasa Taxi Underwriters became RTU SA, where we cover both the minibus taxis, your e-hailing, and now the last mile deliveries, which are your scooters and your courier cars. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey thus far.
That sounds very interesting. Yeah, the e-hailing is fast becoming a big thing because it's starting to include sort of almost, what do you call it, express delivery services and all of those sort of things. So fascinating environment. But Mike, in our industry, advice and risk management is probably top of mind with any insurance product, et cetera. What is your advice and risk management process like in particularly this environment?
Yeah, so effectively, I think our approach from an RTU perspective is the advice element really lies from a compliance perspective, lies with the broker. RTU is a UMA. We deal purely through the brokers, and we take an approach of walking the journey with both the brokers and the client, creating a product to meet a need. It's changed a bit in this environment. The biggest challenge from our clients, which are your last mile delivery guys, your minibus taxis, is that these people's operational, their income ability is capped. You can't drive for more than 10 hours a day, right? You can't do more kilometers, you can't do more trips, it's just physically impossible. However, their cost of running their business is increasingly, it's always increasing exponentially. Thus, these guys are left at the end of the day with a smaller disposable income. And as we know, insurance is your first thing that gets canceled. So we really walk the journey with crafting a solution through our brokers and our clients, our policyholders, in finding solutions on reducing the operational costs. There's the benefits right now of technology, of getting access to real-time data and technology, where we're able to guide our fleet owners on when it's the best time to do your service, which vehicle in your fleet is at the highest exposure, because we've got real-time insights. And this has really made a massive impact on how we drive our business using technology to enhance our offering, purely outside of just providing insurance coverage. So it's been a very interesting journey and forced us as the UMA to really understand the fleet operational space and give real benefits to our clients.
And if you look at the two different sectors, the e-hailing and the taxi industry, what are the main differences in terms of your approach to those two when it comes to managing your risk, et cetera?
I think the big challenge that most insurers or insurers took in this place was that understanding the onboarding and the client from the taxi space. So maybe as a brief background from an e-hailing space is you're finding that it's purely on a digital platform. We would effectively connect a driver to a passenger, and the advantages of that from a user, it's just the convenience, the flexibility, and real-time tracking of it. The traditional taxi space hasn't changed, albeit the guys are moving towards getting into the e-hailing space themselves, is that it's still purely linked on picking up someone from a rank, and it's the same route. And the complexity that came in this space is the onboarding of a driver. In the e-hailing space, you've got professionals like you and I, we're trying to make an additional income, and I've got a vehicle that I'm adding onto a platform from a driver that's vetted on the platform and they drive. Both us as individuals, we're not really geared at understanding the fleet space. So that poses a massive risk from an insurer point of view. You're also getting a lot of fleet clients where people have a fleet of vehicles. The fleet can range from two to thousands of vehicles, and they would onboard these drivers and manage them on that scale, which generally poses a lower risk. There's uniformity in that space in the sense of what vehicles are being insured and what's the typical type of risk. And the big distinct part when it comes to the taxi space, as much as it's deemed as informal, it's a very formalized business world. From an onboarding point of view, if you onboarded as a driver to drive for a taxi owner, you've got a lot more responsibilities, right? Because as soon as you crash that car, there's a lot more consequences tied to that than anyone else in this e-hailing space. So it really manages where you drive. You're also driving the same route 90% of the time. There's no deviance. You know which robot stops for how long. You know which pothole is where, and you've got a good sense of your road. So from a risk point of view, it makes a massive difference on an onboarding perspective. The frequency of the incidents, we can predict it a bit better. And also just from a severity perspective, from a minibus taxi to the e-hailing side, it changes slightly differently. I think the e-hailing space, you're starting to get more access to data points, and we can start managing those behaviors. So yeah, I've said a lot, but I think there's big differences in it, but also a big lot of similarities from a customer preferences. Mm-hmm. And additionally, which is a big part in this e-hailing space, is the regulatory changes are also something that's it's not yet established, and it's a big gray area.
Where do you see the distribution channels in this? What does it look like? How do you get your clients, the introduction to your clients and onboarding?
Yeah, so from an onboarding perspective, as I've mentioned to you, we purely operate through brokers. And just by the pure nature of us being in the market for quite a while, we purely understand the different needs. And we're quite fortunate with our underwriter that when ensure that we're able to have the flexibility on creating the products. So it's no longer that we've got a comprehensive cover that covers XYZ. We walk through the journey and understand what are those particular needs that the client needs. And from our suite of products and solution and technology, we're able to cater a product bespoke for the different environments that these guys are operating in. So that's really helped us from a growth perspective. We've got core brokers that we work through. And we've got your day-to-day business that comes across the table. I think in the market, we've got the reputation of being open-minded and solution-driven using technology. And the biggest part on our side is we want to ensure safety, getting our insureds back on the road as quick as possible and as cheap as possible. And that really has a massive ripple effect to the market.
Mm-hmm. And, is there room for brokers still in the space? Are there opportunities for them to get involved, et cetera?
Definitely. It's actually quite an exciting space for new brokers, because there's so many different platforms that are coming up. There's the need, and I think we've seen just from post-COVID the growth in e-commerce and the gig worker, and the needs of those people it's so unique, and there's so much opportunity. So there's massive scope for brokers and new entrants to the market. If people can take a step back and actually think of what does the client really need? What does my client really need? And in that space, you're able to craft very interesting products and solutions for them that go beyond the traditional insurance space. Okay. And I think this is a great space from a broker perspective, because there's an overlap between sometimes short-term and the motor and non-motor space. And a broker is critical in advising their clients what to put together for the offering.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, just out of interest, from your perspective, because obviously you have in-depth knowledge of the industry, especially the minibus industry as well, and so on. There's been a lot of talk about digitizing that environment from a process point of view for the drivers and the clients, or riders, passengers. What is happening in that space?
Yeah, the space is looking to move to embrace the technology. But as I said, the key part, I'll block it down really, is that from a minibus taxi perspective, if you look at it, who's your customer? Right, your customer is the person you're taking from in a collective space. They're getting on a taxi rank, they're moving from the taxi rank to a predefined place. They're not really the flexibility, they're not really catered for the flexibility, i.e. pick me up from my house to take me to a next layer. And that's going to be very hard for the guys to meet, but there is a market for that, and it's been working throughout. That customer is someone that is, from a data perspective, is a massive cost to their earnings, right? So for them to coordinate, go on an app, it costs them more money. They've got a smaller disposable income pocket, if you can look at it. So the solution for them is slightly different to the solution for us, the rest of the market. Mm. Our economy is not really geared for the public transport sector. There's no reliable train infrastructure. The masses are battling to get financing for vehicles. So that space is always going to be there for the guys to get it as cheap as possible. You'd be interested to find that a big portion of the e-hailing and last mile actually takes people to and from the taxi ranks, to the place of work, to the minibus taxi. So in effect, what's really happening out there in the market, they're becoming a proper multimodal transport solution. In South Africa, we just somehow always find a way to find a solution in whatever challenges we've got. In the e-hailing space, which really caters for another market, like the likes of you and I.
Yes.
If I'm working from home and I feel like a quick chow, I don't have time, I'm backed up on my meetings, I'm going to go on an app, order food, it will arrive to my door as quick as possible. If I need to get from point A to B, I can call the vehicle to pick me up from my house, or let's call it, I'm watching the Springboks play rugby, or I'm at the sporting event and I've had one or two drinks. It's a lot easier to call the e-hailing guys to take me to and from my house. I don't have to carry cash. We don't carry cash.
Yeah.
Then I will will get me home, but the other market is very cash heavy. So it's a solution for all aspects of the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because you're covering both, it means that you can get to the market as a whole when it comes to transport.
100%. So yeah. I think that's really been the following layer of what we've rolled out in the last mile delivery side. So we've seen how much more scooters you're seeing on the road, right? And the movement of not just people now, but people and goods. And I think that's really where the market is moving towards. And from a traditional insurance spaces, we ourselves have created a lot of barriers to entry, which is not aligned to the growth of our economy and market. And I think the educational part of this is important, and it's a big responsibility for the insurers, for the brokers to really be flexible. In the insurer spaces, we've got our set models on how it works, you know. Yeah. However, those need to adapt to the current environment. These guys don't really care where the car goes. They want the car back on the road, you know, like,
yeah.
So now don't price my vehicle at an OEM level from a repairs point of view. Price it at what's best in a safe environment. Yes, you're moving people, but you can't be using commercials that I'm using for a private vehicle like myself and you. The guys don't care. They don't have access to rental vehicles, right? Yeah. As soon as the car is down, that driver, that owner of that vehicle still needs to fulfill the obligation to the financier. They still have to fulfill the obligation to me as the insurer. Mm-hmm. They've also got to fulfill the obligation to their driver, their employer, or their contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And if that breaks, it's too long.
Yeah.
Because between us as the insurer, it must follow the long, rigorous old process that we're using for Tony and Elliot as the individual client.
Yeah.
A lot longer to, it's got a lot more to lose, you know. Can't get access into a brand new vehicle. Let's say the vehicle is borderline write off because we've used OEM commercial pricing and not your pure to the bones pricing.
Yes.
That guy is out of a business. These are small micro SMMEs. And with the whole industry needs to take that approach to saying, guys, what makes us work for these guys? You know, what is their need? Yes, it's great for us to say this vehicle is written off, there's a salvage value, but from that, guys, you've closed his business because he's not going to get access to financing. The important part, I think, from a broker's point of view, outside and selling on price, we also need to solve items like the credit shortfall. The biggest challenge in our world is someone will say, quote me price for price, and like, it's not horse trading, but I'm saying here's the best solution for your insured.
Yeah.
Because when you have an incident and you get paid out, you're still short. Mm. But there are other ways to create and cater for the policyholder to stay back on the road, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the secret about today's insurance environment, is you cater for the specific audience and you tailor towards them.
100%.
Thanks,
Tony.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.